Good morning. Welcome to our Wednesday devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Lemler. I'm a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. We're talking and praying this week about a foundation of prayer and beginning a series on building for revival. And looking in our sermon series here at Deer Run on Sundays at the Book of Nehemiah, and generally these weekly prayer guides and devotions have been following along with that series. And so we opened up with the need to simply sit with God and plan, but not plan in the way that we normally think of planning from our human perspective, but more importantly, joining with God's plan, and we do that as we're willing to pray. And so the weekday mornings, at least through tomorrow, I'll be out of town Friday, talking a little bit about different aspects of what that foundation of prayer ought to accomplish in our life, what it ought to represent. And we've talked about using prayer to pursue God, using prayer as an element of repentance, of having that conversation with God about our sin. And today, we're going to talk about the need to act. That our prayer life isn't simply about talking and listening with God. It's about preparing us to do what God says. And James 2, verse 16 says, "If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it?" Context, James is talking about encountering a person in need. And he says, if you say, "Come back later," but you have the ability to help right then that's a problem. And when we talk to God about our own needs, when we talk to God about the needs of others, God's desire, His plan, His will for us is that we not only pay attention to how He's acting in our life, but that we pay attention to how He's equipping us to act in the lives of others. Well, notice as the book of Nehemiah unfolds that Nehemiah's choice to sit with God and to understand God's plans did not end with him sitting. And this coming Sunday, we'll dive into Nehemiah chapter 2 and recognize that part of this building for building for revival is to not only understand God's plans, but to realize that, well, we need to ask for help. And so we're going to be talking about that this coming Sunday here at Deer Run. And if you're in the Michiana area, I would encourage you to come out and join us, especially if you don't have a church home that you're connected with and involved with. We would love to have you here to visit. We would love to have you here and say, "Welcome home." But this idea that our prayer life is more than words, but it's life, says that we're asking God to use us in a way that glorifies Jesus. I was taught many years ago now, one of these principles of praying, and especially praying for revival, praying for the lost, praying for God to work in a city, in a college campus, in a country, in a place, was the principle that if we're going to pray for God to act, then we really, if we're genuine and honest, have to be prepared for God to say, "You're who I'm using." We find in the Gospels, Jesus is talking with his disciples and telling them to pay attention. That the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. It is therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. And I suspect many of us know that verse. We pray that verse. We understand the need for people to tell others about Jesus. And we don't have that much of a problem praying that God would send out workers to tell people about Jesus. But are we willing to do it? You see, I suspect that because Jesus was asking them to, that these disciples did what Jesus said. They prayed to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers, and you want to know what happens in the very next chapter? Jesus sends them out to go into the towns and villages and countryside and proclaim the kingdom of God is at hand. You see, when we pray, we must be prepared to be the instruments of God's work in resolving the very things we're praying about. And to do that, we sit with God, we plan, we join with His plans, we recognize and allow Him to help us to do an inventory. We can easily say when we see a person in need, I don't have what it takes to help them. Likely, not fully. If you had everything that it required to help them, then you, in a sense, become their savior, and pretty hard to get them to recognize a need for Jesus if you're it. But we're designed to work together as the body of Christ, and we generally will have something that God has put in our life that helps others. I think of Peter and John as they encounter a lame man who's asking for money, who's begging, whose livelihood and existence relies on the generosity of others. The response is, silver and gold we don't have. But it didn't end there. You see, sometimes we see people who want money and we don't have it. Or at least we don't think we have it, or we don't want to claim we have it, or many times we don't. And so we simply say, I don't have anything. I can't help. And we walk away. We leave it at that. And yet Peter and John went that step further of acting. He says, but what we do have, we'll give. We have Jesus. We have the power of Jesus, and as apostles and as part of establishing their authority within the church and the faith in Jesus that was, I think, necessary prior to having the Gospels written down and shared and the Scripture as God's Word in our hand, Peter was able to tell this man in the name of Jesus to get up and walk, and he did. It's not what the man wanted. Well, he may have wanted that. It's not what the man was asking for. It was not what he was expecting. It was what he needed. And when we learn through our prayer life to act, we begin to evaluate, what is it I can do? Sometimes that act is a listening to those in need. And something in their story may prompt us, I know a person that can help with that. I know a program that is made just for that situation. But if we don't listen, if that action of listening never takes place, we often don't ever hear the real need. we just hear what's easiest to say. And God's desire is that our prayer life would lead us to a life of action. He says that we're not only hearers of the word, but we do what it says. And we live life serving and loving and forgiving and correcting and training because we have God's word as this incredible resource. And we have prayer as this great conversation to help us understand. And we pray, and sometimes God's Spirit prompts us to give. We pray about the finances in our local church. We pray about the needs of our missionaries. We pray about the needs of our neighbors, our co-workers, and there are times we do that, and God says, okay, how are you going to help? And we think, but I have this saved for something. I need this for something I want to do. And maybe that's legit, and maybe it's God saying, do you trust me to replenish it? You see, we act when we pray, and God prompts us through His Spirit, and our prayer changes from words to deeds. God's desire is that we experience revival. That we experience revival as individuals and the revival that changes our church congregations, that changes our community, that we become a generation that's known for turning the world upside down simply because we've hung out with Jesus. What an incredible statement, what an incredible possibility if we allow God to revive us fully. And we begin with sitting with God and building on this foundation, a foundation of Jesus, but a foundation that includes a very strong element of prayer. Spend some time today praying with me. Father, thank you that you are a God that loves us. You have given us according to our need, even and especially when we had no clue what that need really was. And we cry out and demand and ask for a lot of things. And you sort through it and you know what's for our good and what isn't. And Father, as we spend time sitting with you, may we pray and act. And may that time of prayer help us to, with the help of your Spirit, evaluate what it is you have put in our life. Things that we're good at, but perhaps more importantly, things that we're not good at, but that you are. And that we would learn to not only pray for the needs of others, not only pray for our church families, for our neighbors, for our co-workers, for our fellow students, but we would learn to act according to your will in how we share with them. How we share our time, how we share our resources, perhaps more importantly, how we share you, our relationship with Jesus. And may our time of prayer continually lead us to do the things that you want us to do. May our time of prayer continually lead us to be obedient to your word, to your Spirit, to the responsibility of a kingdom citizen. And Father, as we consider the many times that we've not acted because we really didn't think we had what was wanted. And we failed to pray and to see what it was we had that we could give, that we could do, that we could help in. So God, help us to not devalue what you've put in our life. Help us to not devalue what you've put into the lives of others. But may we see each part as valuable. Those that are involved in the things that are very obvious and appear big to us, and those that are involved in the things that are hidden and would seem very small if we even noticed them. May everything that we do be done because we've been in conversation with you and we know what you want. Continue to purify our heart, our minds, our motives, so that all of this life that we live would represent Jesus well. And Father, as we see those in need, physical need, spiritual need, emotional need, whatever that need is, help us to see what part of that that you've put in our life that can help. And then help us do it. And help us to do it in such a way that we lift up Jesus in everything, so that many would be drawn to Him. It's in His name that I pray. Amen. This has been our Wednesday devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God, so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.